standing by. Over.
Jeremy and Joe starts now
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Cadillac Bar in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Hello, Houston. He's Joe. I'm Jeremy. We're Jeremy and Joe. Keller got one right for a change. We are at Cadillac Bar in the Heights. Swing on by. Say hello to us. Enjoy some fantastic Tex-Mex. I'm trying to watch my figure, Joe. I'm trying to get back to my birth weight. I got a taco salad today.
That's
I'm
a good call.
To eat a little
your
bit light.
Weight?
Yeah, I'm working on it.
Yeah,
you know, sometimes you gotta aim for the moon, and if you fall short, you're still amongst the stars. That's how it goes.
I think. I think it's pretty close how it goes.
Yeah.
If it's not right, it sounds good.
It sounds great. Cadillac Bar. They have a big bar right there. Watching television screens that show a lot of Houston-specific television sports channels. fantastic food, fantastic drink. We're here. Fantastic. Mediocre conversation. But our promo team out here, swing on by. Say, go Cougs, and be one of the first three people to do that, and you're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Houston Cougars and the West Virginia Mountaineers on Saturday, kickoff at 11, blackout game, 2015 Peach Bowl Championship. We're honoring them. $20, 15 ticket starts there. Also honoring the military and the first responders, Heroes Game, and then also it's a blackout game to pay respect to Kurt Hester. That was his favorite color, strength and conditioning coach who passed away last Saturday. We'll also be talking to the head coach of the 2015 Peach Bowl champions, Tom Herman, at 5 o'clock. Before that, we'll talk to Adam Ronis. He'll get you right for your fantasy football coming up this weekend at 4:30. And Elise Sterling, Paramount Sports, he's been red hot. It's Rocktober or something like that. He'll be joining us at 4 o'clock to get you right for all of your wagers coming up in college and pro football. And then we'll give you our terrible picks with the fix.
Oh, don't say our.
Speak for yourself.
I haven't looked at the standings.
Well, you're in last.
Why are you signaling to me that you went 3-0?
Because I went 3-0, Jeremy.
Why don't you just say it? You're
yeah,
a co-host on the show.
It's an audio medium.
Yeah. I know.
We
got video.
I mean, if you were a producer, maybe you wouldn't say it. Just kidding, Brian. But lots to get to
three
today.
Three winning weeks in a row.
Brian apparently has a bone to pick with Lance. I'm intrigued.
Not so
by
much
this.
A bone to pick. It's just funny audio.
Okay. Bad Take Boulevard coming up a little bit later as well. So a lot of stuff. It's a busy edition of Jeremy and Joe. Joe, we have a rundown on this show.
We do.
We use Google Doc, a little peek behind the curtain. Our Google Doc is titled Jeremy and Joe because the show is called Jeremy and Joe. So today I went into my Google browser and I typed in Jeremy and Joe, but it didn't bring up the Google Doc. It like just Googled Jeremy and Joe.
Okay.
Did you know there is the Jeremy and Joe show in Buffalo, New York?
Is it a sports radio show?
It is.
I did not know that.
They talk about – I listened for about 5 minutes. They were
talking, really?
They were talking Buffalo Bills. But apparently they talk a lot about the Sabres as well.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I book one of Jeremy and Joe on the show?
Maybe. I was hoping –
oh.
I was
oh, Bills are coming up on Thursday night.
Yeah,
in a few
book
weeks.
One of them. There you go.
There
book,
you go.
Book either one.
What time
preferably
is the show?
Jeremy. He's probably better.
Yeah.
I have no idea. It didn't say the time of the show. Well, it probably did, but I didn't look or remember.
Because if it was drive time, we could connect to them live.
I tried to find something quickly, like them like losing their mind, like New Yorkers, and like we could like occasionally check in with Jeremy and Joe. But they felt they were very like tame and like laid back.
Upstate New York.
Is that a thing?
Well, it's not going to be the same temperament as.
I mean, these are the same people who jump through tables.
Right.
Okay, that's a fair point.
How many times this weekend did we see that stupid commercial where they were putting babies through tables?
I didn't see it once.
I think I saw it 15 times this weekend.
What were you watching?
Well, we were at the book, and it was on all the TVs.
You were at the casino last weekend?
I didn't say that. You said that. But they showed it over and over and over again. I was like, I've seen enough. I don't know what you're advertising.
I think my child would jump through a table without any encouraging.
Oh, mine would.
I think he'd be like, yeah, that looks fun. Let me do that. In fact, he's kind of done that accidentally. Anyways, Rockets beat the Raptors yesterday north of the border. 130. Drake was there. That was cool to see. I'm always excited when Drake is courtside. Not really. But the Rockets blow out the Raptors, 18 points. The lead story here, though, like Rockets win. Durant was good. Alpi was good. Jabari was good. Lead story here is that the Rockets covered 5.5, and I'm now 2-2 on the year betting the Rockets against the spread.
Congratulations.
There you go.
Thank you. I have the same
baby
record
steps
as the Rockets.
Back to 500.
My number against the spread, same. The problem though is the Rockets are 500, and they don't have to play they don't have to pay the vig like I do.
Yeah, but like, but just like the
so
Rockets,
I'm still losing.
Just like the Rockets, you can go 80-2 on the season.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah, 80-2.
The dream is alive.
80-2. Here we go.
The dream is alive. But I'm back to 500 in case any of you care. What was your main takeaway from this game? Because I thought there was a lot of them. I thought there was a lot of interesting storylines. But what was your A topic from this Rockets game yesterday?
I think just the offense is just looking – you're seeing the development already, the growth from game one to game four, just how much easier it looks, how they look like they know how and when to use Kevin Durant better than we saw specifically in that first game of the season. Just the smoothness of everything within the offense, I think, is very positive. So that was, to me, watching, I was like, this is a good offense. It's a very, very good offense.
That's one of the things I was wondering during the game yesterday, and I put this in the notes too, and I asked myself that. I was like, you know what, Self, I'm wondering this. And then I was going to ask you guys and ask the junkies as well, 713-780-3776, because the offense is starting to get scary. Like, I know it's the Raptors, but it's 139 points. And the Rockets have been putting up numbers with whoever they're playing against. They scored 137 against Brooklyn. Bad team, 137 against Brooklyn. They lost to a Pistons team who's pretty good defensively. Mm-hmm. They scored 115. I know the Thunder game went to double OT, so that's kind of like an outlier, but 124 in that game. So I was wondering, are we going to accept, or are the Rockets, not accept, accept's a bad word, but are the Rockets going to be better offensively than they're going to be defensively? And I actually came across something on my timeline today that shows that the Rockets have the number one offensive net rating in the NBA. I don't know where they're at defensively because it only showed the top 10 and they were outside of the top 10. But they have the number one offensive net rating in the NBA and are outside of the top 10, but not in the bottom 10, because I saw a bottom 10 graphic as well. So somewhere in the middle third. Do you think that the Rockets are going to be better offensively than defensively in 2025-26?
Yeah, I do. I mean, look, so Kevin Durant, he's solid on defense, right? He's not great. Jalen Green was very good last year in the pick and roll. Now, you're going to go with this double big lineup, which I think is going to leave you open to some threes occasionally when you play teams. The zone so far has been mostly good, but the offense is also just going to be so good, so elite at times, that it's going to outpace the defense. It wouldn't shock me if at the end of the season they ended up with in top 10 of both those categories, offensively and defensively. But yeah, I think the offense is going to be better than the defense this year. Alby's taking another step already, that's clear. Amen's playing well offensively. You have Kevin Durant. If Jabari plays like he played last night, your offense is significantly better, even if you took Kevin Durant off this team from last year. And just the fact that you're replacing all of Jalen Green's shots with Kevin Durant's shots, your offense is going to be fantastic most of the season. So, yeah, it's going to be better.
Kevin Durant's so good, man. Like, even last game, like, people say we're glazing KD because KD is one of the all-time greats. In fact, somebody's in our YouTube chat, which, by the way, Twitchers, we can't talk to you today because we're at somebody else's Wi-Fi, and rightfully so, they blocked the Twitch.
Yep.
So we're on somebody else's Wi-Fi today. We can't. The Twitch is behind a firewall. We cannot communicate with you. So our mental health is in a lot better state because of it. Spend 5 minutes with Tim Tebow and your life is immediately better because of it. Same thing as staying off of Twitch. So sorry, Twitchers, we won't be in the chat today because we're behind the firewall. But Adrian on YouTube, who are we glazing today, Jeremy and Joe? He says
Jabari.
That today is an appropriate day, though. He says it is an appropriate day to glaze Kevin Durant.
Absolutely.
Durant was efficient with his shooting yesterday. Like, he scores 20 without making threes. Like, we've seen it a couple of times already this year. Last night, 11 of 19. Like, okay, that's still not a ton of shots for one of the all-time great scorers. He was left open for three. Alpi Şengün was finding him. He was 4 for 8 from three. Kevin Durant scored 31 points on 19 shots. His efficiency is unbelievable, and maybe it's because we were conditioned by Jalen Green. We're like, okay, we don't really know what efficiency is anymore. Maybe even Harden. Harden had inefficient nights. The efficiency of Kevin Durant is like, it's quietly unbelievable.
Yeah, and he's right now, four games, small sample size, he's at the smallest usage in his career, 25%.
Wow.
So they're using him less than he was used in any other situation so far, and he's able to score 25, 30 points at will, whenever he wants. It's incredible to watch him. And it's so much different than watching, like, James Harden, where his usage is through the roof, where KD can just, anytime he touches the ball, he can score, and he's a weapon without the ball, opening up everything around you. So it's been so much fun the first four games. I mean, the Rockets, I know last year people, it took them a little bit to get on the bandwagon. If you're not there already, I don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Because this team's going to be fun all season long.
Yeah. Alby demands a lot of respect. He commands a lot of respect, which leads to some good looks for everybody. I thought Alby was really efficient yesterday, too, because Alby sometimes will annoy me because I don't think he's hit his ceiling. Mm-hmm. And he'll do some dicey things from time to time. Like, he's a little careless with the ball from time to time.
I know. Sam tried to throw us under the bus.
She did. Very much so.
Yeah.
Yeah. She tried to get us in trouble with the Alpi OnlyFans with the social media.
Did she take your words out of context?
No, but she just put our critiques of Alpi online.
Oh, we can't do that.
The Turks might come after us.
Yeah, luckily they didn't.
So far,
good. They stayed away, actually.
I guess they only go after John and Lance.
Yeah, maybe they agreed with us, which would be a miracle. But Alpi with a near triple-double yesterday, wasn't forcing it, took care of the basketball. I mean, I can live with two Alpi turnovers. It's those four or five turnover games where he's taking bad shots that, like, drives me nuts. But he was really good last night. And then Jabari hit his shots. Like, Jabari Slory, still some times when Jabari tries to, like, do more than I think he's capable of. But Jabari yesterday was good. I'd still like to get those rebounding numbers up for Jabari, though. You're too big to have five rebounds in a game.
I totally agree. He needs way more.
Let's get some more, Jabari.
Yeah, attack the backboard, Jabari. Please
give me 10 rebounds a game.
But
please.
You did say something like, do you think Ime is good with the top 10, the not top 10 defense?
No, I don't.
That's what I think is interesting. Is like it's not like we're okay with it, but Ime is definitely not going to be okay with it.
No, he's not going to be okay with that.
And I don't know.
But it's just good though. That's a good thing.
Yeah, he raises the bar for everything. And again, for the second game in a row, I like the Okogie lineup. So far, he's throwing on me.
Here's the thought that I had, though, with Okogie. And I like Okogie, too. Don't get me wrong. I was about to make a lame joke, but that was for a previous radio life. Whenever DFS comes back, Okogie's going to the bench.
Mm-hmm.
But who's getting more minutes, Okogie or Reed?
Depends on how Reed plays. Okay. That's up to Reed.
I think it's up to Ime.
But if Reed doesn't play well, then he's not going to play. They're going to play Okogie over Reed.
Yeah. No, I mean, I understand what you're saying. I was being a jerk. I was being a sarcastic jerk, which is kind of my MO.
Need our whiteboard. Jeremy Jerk, 312.
We can't do the days without being an obnoxious jerk because it would just always stay a zero.
No, we're going to do days without a hot mic incident because you're right. Me being a jerk is every
– always stay at zero.
I do at least two or three every quarter hour. No, but, I mean, yes, Reed's play is going to matter. But I think, like, in significant games, like, if you're playing an NBA Finals game tomorrow and Dorian Finney-Smith is back and he's filling in, I mean, he's in the starting lineup, Okogie's to the bench. Like, who's playing more minutes in a must-win NBA final game, Okogie or Reed Sheppard?
Okogie.
Yeah, Okogie is.
Yeah, he plays defense. That's all that matters for Ime.
Yeah, and I think
he
that
plays
Reed's,
defense, Reed doesn't. He's got some hands.
Yeah.
He'll get some steals.
Yeah, he's got good hands, but he's gonna get beat off the dribble, stuff like that. He's got bad lateral movement. But I'm not trying to like bang on Reed because I actually have liked what I've seen from Reed the last couple of games. It's looking better. They're moving him off the ball more. I've been encouraged with it, but it's just a thought that popped in my head because DFS is going to come back, and once he does, Okogie's going to the bench, which means that your rotation either has to grow by a guy, and if it does, that means there's fewer minutes to be had for all, or you're bumping somebody. And either way, one guy has to get more minutes than the other. We're burying the – go ahead.
Well, I'll say Ime, I mean, he's – besides the blowout game, you know, two games ago, he's running a nine-man rotation right now.
Yeah.
Like, we haven't seen Jeff Green, Tate, Holiday, Davidson in any meaningful minutes yet.
No, they're not rotation pieces.
So, like, they're only running nine guys. That's not really sustainable.
I disagree. Like. I think nine's plenty big.
You think so?
I do.
You don't get
especially for an NBA final game.
No, I'm thinking for the regular season.
No, I mean, he's going to get – I mean, Kevin Durant's not playing tons of minutes. Like, they're limiting his minutes. He had the second game of the season. It was off a double OT, but they had, like, 3 days off. He played, like, 29 minutes.
Yeah, he played 37 two nights ago. Last night, he ended up playing 37 again.
Okay, he played more minutes than he did in that second game.
But you're right. Like, that's where the minutes are going to come from, I think, is some of those guys will get a little bit lesser of the workload,
sure.
I would imagine.
But still, one guy's going to play more than the other.
Yeah.
And I think
it's
it would
be Okogie.
I think it would be Okogie over Reed currently. We might be burying the lead. Rockets out rebounded the Raptors yesterday by 31 rebounds. They were plus 31 on the glass. The Raptors had 22 rebounds. The Rockets won the rebounding margin by more rebounds than the Raptors had. That was that's as dominant as you're going to get on the glass.
I think honestly the most impressive is like the Raptors have 22 rebounds in the game. The Rockets had 17 offensive rebounds. They had almost more offensive rebounds than the Raptors had total rebounds.
I saw a stat today where Steven Adams leads the NBA in, like, offensive rebound percentage.
Not shocked.
It's like 40%. Like
not
something
shocked.
I mean, that might be too high. I can't remember the exact number. And I heard a Raptor in the post game was talking about Steven Adams' strength. He's like, he's got ungodly strength. He's just like strength you don't see in the NBA. I love that dude. He's awesome. I want that guy on my side every time.
All right, still can't believe how good he is.
You can't believe how good
Steven Adams.
Why not?
They got him as a throwaway because his career was like falling apart.
Oh, yeah.
His body was falling apart. They got him for what?
Was it the
two second round picks when he was out for the season?
Wasn't there a player? I think there was a player involved. Was it Oladipo?
Oh, maybe it was. I mean, it sounds.
Speaking of someone's body falling apart.
I think Oladipo might have been in that trade. Steven Adams traded to the Houston Rockets.
Yeah, you're right. Saying Victor Oladipo in three second-round picks.
What did you say, Joe? I didn't hear you. You kind of cut out of
Jeremy Brand was right.
There we go. Yeah. I don't hear that enough.
Really. I say it a good amount.
We've got a drop for it, Jeremy.
Yeah.
You hear it enough.
Yeah, but Lance was being sarcastic when he said that. All right, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Joe has a thought about the Rockets, kind of more long-term, big picture when it comes to them. Busy show. Bad Take Boulevard coming up later. Lee Sterling at 4, Adam Ronis at 4:30. Tom Herman. National champion, two-time New Year's Six Bowl winner. Tom Herman will be joining us at 5 o'clock as well. 713-780-3776. We're not on Twitch today. We're banned because we're behind the firewall. Reputable places don't allow their employees to go to Twitch. We're on that Wi-Fi, so we can't go to Twitch. Sorry, Twitchers. But you can find us on YouTube at ESPN Houston. We're chatting there. You can always TikTok us at ESPN975. Joe's at Joe George Radio. I'm at Jeremy J. Branham. Or you can find us on Twitter. That's fine. ESPN975. Joe at Joe George Radio. Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. We are Jeremy and Joe, broadcasting live from Cadillac Bar on ESPN975 and ESPN925.
All right, but before we go to break, you know, Tom Herman was, when he was here taking the Cougs to New Year's Six games, Burger Chain wasn't around yet, but now that he's back in town, I think the first place he's got to go once he arrives, of course, Burger Chain is the best burger in the entire damn city. Maybe he'll decide to move back after tasting that Burger Chain burger. It is that damn good. And hopefully you guys tried it on Monday because the Texans won. They beat the 49ers, handled the 49ers. Because the Texans won, you win. Remember, every Monday after a Texans win, you get a free side with your entree. You can order the falafel, you can order the hot dog, the burger, the chicken sandwich, the fried fish sandwich, whatever entree you order, free fries, free tots, spicy tots, curly fries, whatever side you want. That is free when the Texans win on Monday when you buy an entree from Burger Chan. So if the Texans beat the Broncos this Sunday, make sure you stop by on Monday and get that that free side with your entree. So, I mean, no matter what you're watching this weekend, maybe it's the Texans taking on the Broncos. Maybe it's one of the great games from Saturday's college football slate, like number 9 Vandy heading to Austin or OU heading to Rocky Top. Regardless of what you're watching, the best way to enhance that viewing experience, of course, is by picking up some tasty burgers and fries from Burger Chan. And remember, their hours are extended, more time now to try their full menu. Now open for dinner service until 9 p.m. Wednesday through Saturday. That obviously includes today. You got until 9 o'clock to stop by. You can even get Burger Chan for lunch and dinner maybe on Saturday when you're watching games. Maybe a burger for lunch. Try the fried fish sandwich for dinner. I had it a few weeks ago. Very delicious. But, you know, whatever you choose, make sure you stop by Burger Chan. And, again, got to stop by on Mondays. Make sure you stop by Mondays in particular to get yours because we're partnering this season to celebrate Victory Mondays with Burger Chan, us and ESPN, or them and ESPN 97.5. Any Monday after the Texans win. So if the Texans beat the Broncos this Sunday, stop by Burger Chan to claim your free side with the purchase of any entree. All you have to do is mention my name, Brian, mention ESPN 97.5, or just say Go Texans, and you'll get a free side with your entree. Burger Chan, best burgers in the city. Find them at 5353 West Alabama and see their full menu at BurgerChanHTX.com.
Listen to ESPN 97.5 and HD, 97.9 HD2.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to KeepMyNetworks.com to keep ESPN.
Doug.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Cadillac Bar in the Heights, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Indeed, Cadillac Bar in the Heights. Swing on by, say hello to the promo team, say go Cougs, and you'll get a pair of tickets. This taco salad is bomb.
It's huge.
These beef fajitas are fantastic in it. But it's good. There's not many calories in here. Cadillac Bar, though, fantastic food, fantastic drink, fantastic hangout all the time. Get off work a little early, swing on by tomorrow, the weekend, whenever. Great time. So, still the king on YouTube. Mm. I didn't catch any hyperbolic Hollins yesterday. I didn't catch any. It was just, King did on YouTube. He said the TV guy that works with Ackerman said Toronto's playing way better than their record states. He said it after four games.
I'm like, we're three games into the season. Like, how are you saying that already?
Yeah. He says he's a gift. He is. I hope he never leaves. He's radio gold. Fantastic. I love him.
I hope one of them called him the Toronto Rangers last night.
That would have been funny.
I don't think either of them did. If they did, I missed it. But they also might have been told specifically not to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not reading that one. I'm an old soul, so I don't know about the stuff on the internet. Mansplain it to me. Why is Twitch notorious for being unbearable, says Jasper. It's not so much that Twitch is unbearable. It's more the population of our Twitch that is unbearable.
A little toxic.
Yeah, they're terrible people, quite frankly. Alpi's turning into Dirk, shooting 40% from deep. Let's pump the brakes. We're never going to confuse Alpi for Dirk Nowitzki.
It's not a bad nickname, though, Turk Dirk.
It's a terrible nickname. He's nothing like Dirk.
I don't know.
He's totally different game.
He's got to earn it, but just purely on the nickname, I like it.
No, the nickname has to be synonymous with you. It has to be synonymous with your look, your appearance, your play, your style. It's got to be synonymous with that. It just can't rhyme good.
But in a way, you like Dirk Light.
No, he's not. Dirk Nowitzki was a lights out sharpshooter. Alpi is not that.
Yeah,
Alpi's more the Joker. Alpi's more of a low post. He can score in a variety of ways. Very creative, but he's no Dirk. Nowhere near
Dirk. He's definitely way more Joker.
Like, Dirk was a volume shooter. Dirk was a volume shooter. Alpi's not.
Yeah, and I mean, while he's been good with threes so far, I don't want to take as many threes as Dirk took.
No.
But he's played very well this season.
Ryan says Twitch is just how cool dudes think and talk, just normal guys being dudes. It might be guys being dudes, but I don't know if they're normal or cool. That would be my pushback there, Ryan. all right, yeah. So what were you about to say?
I'd say it's more like guys being dudes after, 20 beers, but they're sober.
Yeah.
So, they're,
Are you sure they're sober?
Loose lip?
Eh, it could be. They would have to have money to buy it, so that's the issue. I mean, you're twitching in the middle of the day. I worry about the income of some fellas. All right, anyways, what's your long-term outlook whenever you're watching the Rockets, Joe?
I mean, I'm really excited about what we're seeing offensively the last two games, but I still just can't, stop myself from thinking about what this offense is going to look like when they have a pure point guard. Like someone that can just distribute the ball a little bit better, eat more easily, get across half court on a consistent basis like we saw specifically in the first two games. Because it's looking so much better already the second of the four games of the season versus the first two. But when you add any kind of point guard, whether it's Jrue Holiday like someone suggested or Derek White, like whoever you go out and get, someone that can just really run the offense more effectively and not have to rely on Alpi and Amen to do it on a consistent basis or ask Reed Shepard to, which again they've done less of now, it's just the offense can be even better. To be right now where they're at as the number one offense in the NBA through four games, how much better can it be this season when you add that pure point guard to this roster?
I just don't know. I want a pure point guard on the roster too. I'm not sure how much it levels them up though.
I think it levels them up at the end of the game. Specifically, the flaws we saw in the two overtime game.
Okay,
having Fred in that moment, or someone that then now replaces Fred makes that part of the game. Basically, from the start of the game to the last 5 minutes, I don't think it levels them up that much at all.
I think they can get away with it unless you get into foul trouble. Because if you're asking Reed to be a primary handler in a big playoff game, it's that's not great.
And to that point, I think it's more about that it raises their floor than it raises their ceiling. Because because of what Jeremy said with Reed trying to handle the ball in clutch situations against physical guards who are bigger than him and compress them, it lowers the turnovers, the wasted possessions. I don't think it necessarily raises the ceiling.
Yeah. But they're also kind of getting away from Reed handling the ball already.
Very quickly.
So I don't think they would even have Reed do that even if a Min was in foul trouble. They'd be like, here you go, Durant. You bring the ball up the floor and initiate our offense. Here you go, Alpi Şengün. You bring the ball. Because they're doing that stuff already in game four.
And we saw it in game one. That's what they did. When Min was out with the cramps, they relied on Kevin Durant and Alpi to bring the ball up.
The cramps? You got to phrase it differently.
Yeah, he had cramps. He had calf cramps, Brian.
I don't like the phrasing. I don't like the phrasing.
Get away from your elementary humor.
I can't. The cramps.
Part of me.
I guess it'd be more like middle school, high school humor.
Yeah, I'm still definitely
stuck. It's still funny, though.
He had cramps in his calf.
He did. At first, I thought it was way worse because to have both legs iced up like that the first game of the season, didn't love that.
But I would like a – to me, it's more like a really good insurance policy. Like, okay, like you have a defense that's really pressing. You're really getting after you. Mm-hmm. You don't want Durant. You don't want Alpe to bring the ball off the floor if a men's in foul trouble. It's that's your really good insurance policy off the bench. But I don't know if it levels them up offensively. Like, I don't know if I would go to that extreme. Because also, like, let's just – like, this texter says Trey Jones is who we need. True point guard, plays D, hits the open shot, love to pass. Don't disagree with any of that. But who's going to the bench? Like, what's your five? Like, insert your point guard, and then who are your other four? Like, who's sitting for that guy?
That's why I think it has to be a certain level of a guy to replace Okogie or Adams in your lineup. Like Trey Jones is a good name, but, like, is he going to start? Is he going to close? No. Like, there is a level of guard that the Rockets kind of do have to acquire to really make that impact at the end of the game just to make it a better operation.
It's a 15, 20 minutes of good bench play,
you
know, where – or, you know, you can even start. Doesn't mean you can't start. But I have trouble figuring out which player goes to the bench. Like, would it be Jabari? Like, we saw Jabari come off the bench last year in the playoffs, but he's playing at a different level. He got paid, and he's bigger now. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Junkie on the text line, Şengün is Vlade Divac. I think Şengün's a better offensive player than Vlade. I don't think it's a terrible comparison, but I think Şengün's a better – offensive score specifically, but Vlade, we like to potty. I love Vlade Divac, man.
He was great.
I could just see him like smoking cigs on the end of the bench. Not that he ever did that, but I bet he would.
But he might have been. He might have been back in the locker room doing it, though.
Yeah, for sure.
Like not on the bench. But.
I heard a story. I can't remember who was. Oh, it was the Patrick Beverley podcast. I don't remember who the other basketball guest was, but it was like a veteran who played, a very recognizable player. I can't remember who it was. And they were talking about like card games or poker games on the plane. And the guy's like, you know, is there ever a time whenever somebody wasn't paying? He's like, oh, no, you never worried about that in the NBA. And a lot of times you would have veterans who would tell the young players, like, hey, you go do this prank and, like, we're good. Like, hey, you owe me 20 grand.
I like that.
You owe me 20 grand. We're good if you do this. And I saw it today. And one of the things that Vlade did, I think Vlade was actually up like 70 grand. Like on like some rookie. And he told the rookie, he goes, all right, tell you what. Instead of paying me the 70 grand, we're good if you do gallops from the front of the plane to the back of the plane the entire flight. And he said the rookie did it.
That's awesome.
The rookie was doing the gallops in the aisle, in the plane aisle, from the front of the plane to the back of the plane. And like I hope
it was cross country.
I think they said it was like a 2-hour flight.
Okay.
But
like Sacramento to like Orlando.
But they say what was funny about it is because you have like the different areas of the plane. Like the players in the back.
Yeah.
Like you usually have like the radio TV guys in the middle, and then you have like the coaches in the front. So he's going past like the media people and the coaches and then galloping back and forth for the duration
of
the flight.
Wow.
Oh, it was so good. Like the Vlade Divac stories I've heard are sensational.
And back then, it's like probably like real media there too.
Like, I don't know. Like, were they traveling their beat guy?
I think usually one or two did back in like the mid 2000s.
Am I stupid for not knowing this? I learned this today, actually, maybe last night. Am I stupid for not knowing that the White House press flies on Air Force One?
Yeah.
I am stupid for that.
Yeah. Well, okay. I knew that. I don't know if you're stupid for it.
I'm willing to admit whenever I'm being stupid. I learned that today. I am today's year old learning that the White House press flew on Air Force One.
I guess I just made the assumption
because
it's in every movie. They're always in the movie, too.
I saw something on the news where like he was on a plane like addressing the media. I'm like, they fly with him?
Yeah.
Well, I was like, yeah. I was like, oh. I'll stick to my lane.
Not all of them, but like a couple of the beat reporters will.
Yeah, it's like I know that there used to be a beat guy, Michael Murphy, that would fly with U of H, but I don't know how like prevalent that was back in the day with pro teams. I have no idea.
There used to be more. I mean, I know people that like used to travel with a couple of the Chicago teams.
Okay.
Occasionally,
like Greenberg or whatever.
Yeah, Greenberg would travel.
Someone didn't watch The West Wing. I didn't. I openly admit.
I've never watched it, but I've been looking. I've been scrolling past it recently on Netflix, and I've considered making a pit stop and starting and watching it. But it's a lot of seasons.
I've heard it's good.
It's a big commitment.
How many
seasons?
It's
good, but
I think it's like 7 or 8.
That's not that bad.
Way you described it, I thought you were going to say like 12.
You know how to eat an elephant?
One bite at a time.
One bite at a time, Joe.
Yeah.
Start one show at a time. Start nickel and diming that sucker.
We got a lot going on, though, with TV right now. Like, I don't know if I want to commit to 7 seasons of a new show.
That's a good point. All right, 713-780-3776. At Cadillac Bar in the Heights. Having a fantastic time with this taco salad. Way too much fun with this taco salad. You're going to have way too much fun with your food here at Cadillac Bar in the Heights, too. Swing on by. Say hi to the promo team. Say go Cougs. You'll get a pair of tickets to see Houston and West Virginia Saturday at 11. 713-780-3776. When we come back, let's go behind enemy lines. Sean Payton, What did he have to say about this Houston Texans team? And he got grumpy with the media. And you know what I love? I love when head coaches get grumpy with the media. I also want to ask you two questions, Joe. You can think about it during the break. Junkies, you can think about it now. Who would you rather have as your head coach, Sean Payton or D'Amico Ryans? Who would you have rather have as your veteran running back, J.K. Dobbins or Nick Chubb? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Oh, Higgins Boat Rum, man. It is fantastic. I had me a little Higgins Boat Rum last night. It was so good. Really put me in a great mood. I slept like a baby because of Higgins Boat Rum. It's rum anchored in time. Higgins Boat Rum, known as the Texas Bourbon Drinker's Rum. It's why we really hit it off, myself and Higgins Boat Rum. It's bold. It's smooth. It's also steeped in history. It honors the greatest generation, if that's your thing. Perfect to sip neat, on the rocks, a big rock. That's the way I enjoy it. Higgins Boat Rum is excellent for crafting your Texas-inspired cocktails. You know what else it's good for? I saw this on social today on Higgins Boat Rum. All follow them on all their socials, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, all of it. They were making eggnog with their Higgins Boat Rum. So you like eggnog? There's a cocktail right now on all of the Higgins Boat Rum socials where you can follow that delicious recipe. I'm not an eggnog guy. I'm just the Higgins Boat Rum guy. But Higgins Boat Rum pays tribute to our military heritage. It's named after the iconic landing craft that turned the tide in World War II. Higgins Boat Rum donates 10% of profits from every bottle. Every bottle, 10% of profits to Camp Hope, which supports our veterans. How can you not love that? You're honoring heroes with every pour. Follow Higgins Boat Rum on all their socials. You're going to get tasty cocktail ideas like the eggnog today. You're going to get behind-the-scenes stories on your new favorite rum, live updates on your new favorite rum as well. They're going to be out at the Rice homecoming game on the 8th, so make sure you stop by the Higgins Boat Rum tailgate. It's going to be a great time, good chance for you to try some of the delicious rum as well. Higgins Boat Rum, a premium top-shelf rum at a great price. Get your bottle now at Total Wine in Baybrook or always online at HigginsBoatRum.com. Shipping to 48 states across the country, HigginsBoatRum.com. Crafted for the bold, inspired by the brave.
This is ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Cadillac Bar in the Heights, it's Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday Night Football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
Hey, Joe, I'm Jeremy, broadcasting live, Cadillac Bar in the Heights. Swing on by, say go Cougs, pair of Houston, West Virginia tickets coming your way. King is giving you grief for saying 12 days in a row. Can't work that. It is soft. I forgot to give you grief Monday. That is soft. 12 days. I can't work 12 days in a row. It's pretty soft.
Eh, whatever.
I think my record's like 48.
48 days?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because of games?
Yeah.
So yeah. I guess that's what during college baseball season?
I counted up the most last year, though. Last year I got up to like 24.
Okay.
Which was still twice as much as 12.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only time I'm doing
math
this.
Math there.
So.
Yeah.
Whatever. Thanks, King.
Yeah.
Nice
maybe,
to see you.
Maybe if you had a taco salad instead of cheese enchiladas, you could
they're
you
chicken 20, enchiladas.
You could get up to 12 days in a row.
They're excellent. They're very good.
No, they look
these
delicious.
Breaks are not long enough.
No, I think there's more calories in my taco salad than your cheese enchiladas.
You think so? It's a big bowl.
It's a big bowl.
It's a large bowl.
It might depend on the flour taco shell.
Are you going to eat the shell?
I'm eating a couple of bites whenever they mix in. It was so delicious. How could I not? All right, so Sean Payton, head coach of the Broncos. Remember, he was hired by Denver in the same offseason that D'Amico was hired by the Texans. That was an eventful few weeks.
It was.
D'Amico had no interest in the Houston Texans, according to one reporter, for a brief period of time. There was also the whole, like, is Sean Payton calling Cal McNair stupid? Mm-hmm. Whenever he went on the Cal Herd show, and he was like, there was one interview that I interviewed with the other day, and it's like, well, I want nothing to do with them. So, like, we're pretty sure he was talking about Cal McNair. We don't know that officially, but we're, like, kind of sure. So, like, that happened. You also, 2 years ago, these two teams played. Texans won at NRG. But remember, Stroud got into the face with one of their linebackers.
Yep.
I can't remember his name. Was it Simpson? Something like that. But they went toe-to-toe. Four offensive linemen charged at the defense of C.J. Stroud. Can you guess the one Texans offensive lineman who failed to run at the defense of C.J. Stroud?
I remember.
Yeah.
Laramie Tunsil.
Yeah, and then Titan Tower got mad at me on the internet and tried to bully me on the internet. But we're all good now. We're on good terms.
That was also the game that you think C.J. Stroud got concussed in, right?
I don't know that for sure. If I had to guess, was he concussed or not? Yes. I actually retweeted it today. So I saw this today. He's very wobbly. And then he got hurt the next week.
Against the Jets.
Yeah. He got definitely concussed.
He definitely was concussed.
And then he missed like 4 weeks.
Yep.
Remember, he missed several games.
It was 2 games.
Was it two?
It
came back in the third week? Okay. Maybe there was a bye in there too.
Maybe.
Where he didn't play like over a 3 week period. But yeah, so there's a lot of like underlying history here. Not like it's a rivalry, and not that there's like a brewing hatred here. I'm not going to that extent. But there is some like correlation between the Texans and the Broncos.
There's a little bit, which is, I mean, and now you got two teams that are, well, one's for sure a playoff team this year, it seems like one's hoping to be. But two teams that made the playoffs last year, two teams with good defenses, young quarterbacks, maybe a little rivalry brewing.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to – maybe. Maybe there will get to a rivalry. Like, I don't know. Like, is this going to be Brady and Manning, huh? I'm just kidding.
If CJ gets hit late in this game, I need to see the offensive line –
All five?
15-yard penalty.
All five?
I don't think that there's, like, that underlying hate here. I really don't. I really don't. I think it was just, like, more coincidence than anything else.
We could use some of that in our lives.
And it wasn't really that severe. Like,
no.
The dude kind of, like, pushed him a little bit.
Well, remember, CJ, like, went up to him.
Yeah, we confronted him, I think, after he got pushed.
Yeah, like, CJ stood.
And it wasn't even, like, a hard push.
No.
Like, on a scale of 1 to 10, it was, like, a 4.
Yeah, but CJ stood up to him. He didn't back down.
No. I went back and watched the Broncos-Cowboys game last night. Not because I wanted to get intel on the Broncos, but I wanted to hear the beautiful sound of one Jim Nance go Cougs.
Mm.
And he said something in the broadcast. I don't know if this is still true this week. The Broncos lead the NFL in sacks going into last week's game. So it's like, okay, this will be a great test on the offensive line. I saw something today where the Texans' pass protection this past week was the second-best pass protection in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Now the Niners' defense banged up, don't have their dudes. I think the Texans did a good job of taking them out of blitzes by getting some efficient plays. Okay, well, we're not going to blitz if you're getting 5-6 yards at a pop. So this is going to be a fabulous test of, is the Texans' offensive line actually making solid improvement in progress?
Yeah, and I think the answer to that's going to be no, unfortunately. But it doesn't mean it has to be a disaster like it was against Seattle.
Disaster.
Where C.J. Stroud was pressured on, like 29 times, I think it was, by the Seahawks, 28 times. They're getting after
him. It felt like every play.
Yeah, like every single play. Yeah, you're right. Like every time he dropped back, like, there was guys in his face.
Yeah.
There was guys who were unblocked. Like, that's one of the things I'm looking for this weekend is how many moments or how few moments does a guy just come through scot-free because whoever calls the protection does it wrong.
Yeah.
I think one of the interesting things to watch in this game will be how the Broncos react to not having Patrick Surtain available. Does that make them more passive? Like, they maybe less aggressive with blitzing because they're worried about their back end? Or are they like, well, we can't cover longer, so we need to get after him even quicker?
Well, another stat that Jim Nance said, and the reason that he knows this because he's a genius, because he got educated at one of the finest universities of the world.
Harvard and Southwest.
He said that they lead the NFL in pressure rate with just 4 rushers. So it's like they don't have to. I mean, they have Benito.
Benito. Yeah, Nick Benito.
I'm a little dyslexic, man. Come on.
We got there.
You're blasting my dyslexia. like, that dude's a beast. That dude's one of the best pass rushers, if not. I mean, I don't want to say he's better than Myles Garrett, but he's up there. He's top tier. He's in the top three
or four
in the NFL. So, like, they're really, really good. The other thing, Surtain, look, you miss Surtain. That's a huge miss. That's a factor. Now, one thing that they were doing with him last week is they actually had him man-on-man with George Pickens, and then they were bracket-coveraging CeeDee Lamb.
Interesting.
So, like, they already have a – and, look, George Pickens is still very, very good, but they still – yeah, it is. But they still have, like, okay, well, we're defending the other team's top receiver without our best corner, and they did that as recently as last week. So I wonder if that's something that could factor in a little bit as well.
So let's see them potentially bracket Nico in this game, and then whoever the other wide receiver is within Surtain's – replacement.
Yeah.
Which would make
maybe
sense.
I mean, I don't know if maybe missing Sertan completely changes the game plan,
yeah,
which is obviously on the table here because he's one of the best corners in the NFL, if not the best. The other thing is, the Texans don't have a number two receiver in the same ballpark as George Pickens.
No.
So, that's another, caveat here. So it'll be interesting to see the chess match that they play. But I was listening to Sean Payton this morning. This was from yesterday. He talked about the Texans' defense. Here's Sean Payton talking about that.
Great job. They're extremely fast. Man, the edges, when you look at Danielle Hunter and both of these edge players with wide techniques are problems. The secondary is extremely talented. We went through
that's
a
enough
week
there
of watching film.
I actually wanted to play that to set up something else. But did you hear anything there? I mean, it was just complimentary.
I heard that
he
didn't know Will Anderson's name.
Yeah. I don't think that's a surprise. I really don't. These coaches a lot of times don't watch the game copy. And if they do watch the game copy, it's not always sound on. The film copy has zero audio. A lot of times you just know the player. A lot of times you just know the number. I don't know if that's...
still pretty new.
Yeah, I mean...
it's third year.
He pays attention to the draft and that sort of thing. But I don't think that that's, egregious. I really don't.
No, but wouldn't he even been scouting him? Because, he came in the same year as D'Amico.
And he is handsy with the draft.
Yeah.
He's pretty involved in the draft process. I think he probably just blanked in the name.
Probably.
I don't think that's that big a deal. I don't think that was
a
diss. No,
I like to make a big deal of it, but probably
not.
No,
I don't think it was a diss. A lot of times coaches will not know the player name. But, his number is this because they see it on film.
Yeah.
But they're not really hearing or seeing the name. But the reason that I wanted to play that is because two questions later, a Denver Bronco media member asked Sean Payton, "Hey, Sean Payton, what do you think of the Houston Texans defense?" And here was Sean Payton's response.
I go from there.
What are your thoughts on the Houston defense, the number one in both total and scoring defense?
I just answered that question.
Well, just how rugged are they? How do they compare to your defense, I guess I'll ask.
Well, it's an entirely different scheme. They're a 4-3 defense. But I think I just went through, literally every part of what they do well.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you, Sean Payton. I love grumpy head coaches so much. They're I have a soft spot in my heart for grumpy old head coaches.
I mean, I appreciate that one, though, because you're just calling out the media member for not listening.
I literally just answered that.
Was it Mike Vrabel that railed a reporter a few weeks ago for asking the same question
just
answered?
Yeah, and then Houston media
it was about
like,
the international player, I think it was, back in training camp.
Houston media is like, oh, my goodness, he's mad at us. Oh, no, D'Amico's getting mad. Go work with Sean Payton. Let's see how that sounds for
a little bit. Yeah, Sean Payton, he can be feisty.
But I also don't know if Sean Payton would be as sensitive as D'Amico. I think it's a perfect storm, stars aligned. And then here's another one, because Denver's in the mountain time zone, Joe.
Yeah.
Houston's in the central time zone,
right,
Joe. So Denver's traveling to Houston. It's a noon kick, but it's an 11 a.m. kick mountain time. But do you know what a caveat there is this weekend that isn't true for any other weekend in the NFL schedule?
Daylight savings.
Daylight savings. A reporter asked Sean Payton about playing an 11 a.m. kick instead of a noon kick, and Sean Payton takes this reporter to school on time zones and daylight savings.
The 11 a.m. games, I know it's noon there in Houston.
So you ready? Saturday they turn the clocks back. So we're playing 12 noon our time. And every day we come out here at 12 noon. So unusually, it's a great question, but we fall back Saturday night. And so 12 noon.
Scold them. Scold them.
Thank you for bringing that audio to my attention because
he reminded you.
I just wrote on my things to do tomorrow is to make sure we're set up for this weekend.
I didn't know that until this morning.
I had no idea.
I found out this morning.
My wife goes, "You ready for an extra hour of sleep this weekend?" I was like, "Cool, you're going to wake up with the kids?" And she's like, "No, we fall back an hour."
Yeah,
I
had no idea.
Oh, I didn't either.
Great weekend, though, for Halloween.
Yeah,
is it normally on Halloween weekend?
I have no idea, Joe.
Okay. Well, it's also Saturday night going into Sunday.
I think it has something to do with the equinox.
Okay.
Probably less to do with Halloween.
No, I'm just saying, does it normally fall on that weekend?
No, because it's...
I have no idea.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Payton or D'Amico, who's the better head coach?
Payton.
Yeah, I don't know if you can really argue it.
He's
resume's
got the resume.
Better, and his current team's better.
Yeah, I mean, they're virtually equal since Sean Payton got rid of Russell Wilson.
Yeah.
And then you look at the resume on top of it, what he's accomplished is just more than D'Amico so far. So right now, Sean Payton.
Yeah, I think it's Sean as
well.
That's
not a slight on D'Amico at all.
The Texans kicked the tires on J.K. Dobbins probably whenever they found out about Joe Mixon. This was in May. I went back to find out the exact time. It was late May. The Texans were chatting with J.K. Dobbins, decided not to do business with J.K. Dobbins, and then eventually signed Nick Chubb. Did the Texans get this one wrong?
I think they did, and I'll go past that a little bit. You can make an argument they should have just signed J.K. Dobbins last year instead of trading for Joe Mixon before he signed with the Chargers.
Now, Dobbins did get hurt last year.
I know he
Mixon
did.
Mixon was clearly better than Dobbins a year ago.
I don't think it was that much, not early in the season.
Oh, man. I think, yeah, I would relook at the numbers.
The availability matters to me. Well, Mixon missed some games, too, though.
Yeah.
Mixon missed some games, too, though.
And they're hip drop tackles, so it's a little different of an injury.
Yeah.
But for this offseason, yeah, I would have preferred J.K. Dobbins.
And
he
it would have been
really
easy.
Good last year.
And, like, J.K., I think, got more money than Chubb, but it would have been easy to conjure up the money for Dobbins.
Sure.
Like, hey, maybe don't sign that $12 million left tackle that you're going to trade in week three. Like, it would have been very easy to repurpose the money there, too.
And he was signed, I think he was signed after the draft, because that's one of those fantasy things that everyone was all excited about, R.J. Harvey, and then in June they signed J.K. Dobbins.
Yeah, it was in late May.
So he would have been available.
Well, actually, it might have been even the summer, because the Texans were kicking the tires on Dobbins in late May. So
yeah.
It probably was a June, July signing.
So, yeah, I would have gone. And it's, you know, Chubb has been okay, but Dobbins has been better this year, so I would have gone Dobbins.
Yeah, I think
you got that one wrong.
I think that one's a no-brainer, too. All right, 713-780-3776. Brian has a bone to pick with Lance Zierlein. Jeremy and Joe live from Cadillac Bar on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. You looking for something to do? Looking for a couple of days away from the city, the job? Maybe you can't work 12 days in a row, and you're looking for a place to find some rest and relaxation? Well, Two Creeks Crossing Resort's the best spot for that. It is fantastic. Escape the city. Enjoy the relaxing, great outdoors. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. The open green spaces, you're going to love it. The wildlife, you're going to love it. The nature out there, you're going to love it. If you like fishing, you're going to love it. Two Creeks right alongside their property. They got a big catch and release pond in the middle of the property. You can teach the kids how to fish in that big old pond. It's also just 90 minutes from Houston. You can escape the city without going too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Don't worry about airplanes. Don't worry about traveling for 6 hours in the vehicle. No, you're there in an hour and a half. You're going to be hiking their 92 acres of property the same day that you just got off work. Kayak, play some pickleball if you want to. Hang out by the pool, the drink. Although it might be too cool for that. You might just be with the drink outside the pool. That's okay. Glamping, cabins, tree houses, they have it all. Pull up the RV if you have an RV as well. Take next weekend, for instance, on how much Two Creeks Crossing Resort takes care of their visitors. Thursdays. It's a Veterans Day weekend next week. They got kids stuff all day Saturday, a little live music, and college football at Swampers 2, so you don't have to miss a single game. Book your stay now, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Loaded, ready to rule.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
YouTube TV customers, you could lose ESPN and the sports you love, including college football, college game day, Monday night football, NBA, college basketball, and more. Take action. Go to keepmynetworks.com to keep ESPN.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Huntington Bank Studios, located at Cadillac Bar in the Heights. Here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Corazon! This is my kind of music here, Joe. Cadillac Bar in the Heights, swing on by. They go Cougs. We'll give you a pair of tickets to Houston, West Virginia on Saturday. Tom Herman at 5, Adam Rodas at 4:30, Lee Sterling at 4. Into some dangerous territory.
People get fired for what's about to happen.
He's going.
You're letting it happen anyway, though, Joe.
Has a bone to pick. I mean, you're a grown man, man.
Yeah, you make your own
bone.
That's
true,
man.
That is true.
He's got
man.
A bone to pick with Lance Zierlein, apparently.
So, if you listen to this show, first off, great show. John and Lance, one of the reasons I decided to get into sports radio. But Dell and
you don't have to kiss his ass.
I know.
Before you throw
look
him
at him.
The bus.
No,
I've said it on air before. You know, you do the good and the bad, right?
He wasn't listening when you said it.
Give the full picture. But if you listen to that show regularly, John and Dell like to tell you regularly that Lance is a terrible person. Remember the potato chip incident from a few weeks ago with the station down the hall? Mm-hmm. Remember when Lance called out our teammate here, Jeremy Branham, and misconstrued his comments on Cam Smith? So there's – and actually one of those things happens to come up in one of these clips. But they were giving him a hard time this morning, Dell and John, about being a terrible person. And his defense to push back on those claims was – telling how he basically made people's careers. One of the people he said he made their career, he didn't actually know their name.
Oh.
So let's roll the first clip where Lance says he made the career of someone whose name he didn't know.
Here's who I helped. So I go to the Rockets game. and I'm going to pick up my press pass. Now, I just used it to go downstairs and get banana pudding.
Of course.
But I sat with my sons. I paid for three tickets so me and my sons could sit together in the game they lost against Detroit, the home opener. And as I'm going to pick my press pass up, I walk in and I say, hey, I need to pick up my press pass. I forgot my wallet, but I got a picture of my ID and my phone. But my name is Lance Zierlein. I'm with ESPN Radio. She goes, oh, trust me, I know who you are. And I said, oh, really? She goes, yeah, I interned for you guys. My name is Natalia. I was like, oh, wow, that's great. She goes, yeah, I listen to you guys all the time still.
You don't remember her.
I said, but she did say, I wasn't there often when you guys were on the air. Like, I would get there when you were already on the air, and I was sitting at a different computer. But she – and I said, well, how did you get this job? Like, that's great. How'd you get this? And she – and not in so many words necessarily, but she did kind of intimate that I was – that she took inspiration from my path of what I did.
What?
Working for free on weekends.
What are you talking about?
That basically, you know, I was an inspiration.
What?
How
so? This is how you affected her career? How?
Yeah,
What were her words?
She said that was like last Friday.
It's
it is
not
a blur.
Even,
it is
not
a blur.
A lot of things happened. True. There's no chance.
A lot of things. No, it's 100. Well, her name is Natalia.
I'm
she
sure
does
you
work
met
for the
her.
Rockets.
That's true. Her name is Natalia.
The one part of that was true. Her name is Natalia.
You know who she is?
Two parts.
Yes, because I wrote her recommendation letter to get hired by the Houston Rockets.
And she brought up the gift packages from the Rockets to us because obviously she's familiar with the station.
I can't believe that's why I got him a credential.
He took credit.
I got him a credential to get banana pudding. Like I was like,
is that what you're most offended by?
I was like, wow, like Lance got it. Like he asked for a season credit, and he actually used it. That's awesome.
Nope.
Banana pudding.
No,
it's great banana pudding.
He didn't use his cred for banana pudding. He used cred to start somebody's career.
Yeah, he did.
He started to uplift a young female's career.
Definitely.
Whose name he didn't know.
He did not know. Well, I mean, Sean Payton didn't know Will Anderson's name.
That's true.
He didn't know Natalia's
name.
That's true.
Natalia is the Will Anderson of Rockets employees.
It's pretty much the same thing.
I would agree with that. All right, so that was one claim of Lance's good deeds that he made, making someone's career whose name he didn't know. The next claim was how great of a teammate he was to her own Jeremy Branham, and his selfless acts was something he could have done but chose not to do. Go ahead and roll the clip, AJ.
But that was being a great teammate. Here's another one. Tom Herman. I reached out to Tom Herman, and I said, hey, coach. He called me back. Hey, Lance, blah, blah, blah. So we were talking. I said, well, I'd love to get you on. We can talk about it. He goes, yeah, I really want to get on. I want to get back into stuff. I know you have you have a lot of influence and sway. And listen, that's not
the point. He never said that.
He said it, but that's not the point of the
Did he intimate
whole
that as well?
Oh, my God.
It was intimated. He said he wanted to be on the show because he wants to get back into coaching, and that intimated that I had
a lot of
power
sway.
Yeah, and he said
he can maybe full get on the Joe Moore
so
committee.
We're not putting him on. He's not an offensive guy. So it's actually harder getting on that than getting back into the business. But so he said, yeah, I'd love to talk about the coaching carousel. I said, yeah, I said, that'd be great. And he goes, full disclosure, I am going to be on with tomorrow with Jeremy Branham.
That's true.
I said, okay. He goes, but you know what? I could come on your show in the morning. And for a second I thought, what would John do? He would say yes.
Yes.
And then Jeremy would crap his pants because you stole our guest. And you know what I said? I said, I'm a good person. I'm on a real run with helping Natalia's career, helping Dell. And this is what I said. I said, you know what? No,
helping
coach,
Dell.
Let's not do that because it's poor form for me to do that to a teammate.
Call him now.
Why don't we go Wednesday, next Wednesday? So he's going to join us next Wednesday. That's me. And I was looking for a time to go down and tell Jeremy how good a teammate and person I was because – I think he has some doubts. He thought maybe I was against his show, which I never was against
his
show.
I went against
him for saying, you know, that Jose Altuve wasn't going to be good. For saying Cam Smith wasn't going to be good.
You excoriated him.
And Cam Smith had his, you know, moments.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
And we turned it into a promotion.
Yeah.
How much you hate Jeremy.
Well, that was Sam.
What a great teammate.
Yeah, that one. I mean, that was unfortunate.
Oh,
so I wanted to come down and tell him, hey, just let you know, I'm a really good person.
Yeah, great.
I didn't steal your guest.
Seconds next.
I agree. I think Lance is a great team.
That is a good team move because you're right. John would not have done that.
No, I tip my cap to Lance. That was a pro move by Lance. He's never been confused with not being a pro.
He's feeling himself right now a little bit.
And I've never felt that Lance was against me.
He's helped Natalia. He helped you. Yeah. He helped really Sean yesterday because Sean overslept.
Oh yeah,
and so Lance had to
take
cover
a sideswipe at Sean.
That's the truth.
It is the truth.
That's what he referenced about helping Dell because Lance hosted in the studio while Dell were on the board.
Right. I guess not a sideswipe.
More mapes.
Not a sideswipe.
So I guess I guess he could have made Dell like do the show and run the board by himself until Sean got there.
That'd have been interesting.
Yeah, I never thought Lance was against me.
Nice.
Just because we disagree on sports doesn't mean we're against each other.
Do you feel like you're on the list of people's career who Lance made?
I think Lance has uplifted my career. Yeah,
did Lance make your career?
Not yet.
Look,
okay.
him making fun of me gives me a little bit of name value. You know,
a little bit of the rub.
A little bit of the rub. I get a little bit of Lance Erlein rub.
Let's sprinkle a little of the.
Hopefully,
the
it's
magic.
Not a barbecue rub. Hopefully, it's just cachet rub.
Another side swipe there.
Yeah. All right. So thank you, though, Lance, from Natalia and myself.
I'm glad you didn't have to crap your pants because he took the interview.
Is that what he said, pants?
Yeah, he said crap your pants.
Well, I thought he said something in the front. 713-780-3776. Lee Sterling, Paramount Sports. He wants to give out some winners. So make sure you tune in next. Lee Sterling, some winners. It's Jeremy and Joe broadcasting live. Cadillac Bar in the Heights on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Football is in full swing. Underdog is the best place to get in on all the action all season long. You're in Texas, I imagine. And Texas is the best place to make picks and win money on Underdog, at least in my opinion. But Underdog is just the best app that there is. Playing on Underdog is so easy. Pick whether your favorite players are go higher or lower on stats like rushing yards, receptions, touchdowns, more. And also on Underdog, you can pick teams now. That's right. You can pick teams. Get your picks right. You can up to 5,000 times your cash. And you can play with as little as $1. In fact, because Underdog loves you, because I love you, if you download the app today and use promo code KILLERB, K-I-L-L-E-R-B, you're going to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. So put down your caramel mocha frappuccino today and use that money on Underdog. Your first $5 on Underdog. You don't need a caramel mochaccino frappuccino. You don't need that. But you do need Underdog. And the reason you need Underdog is because you can get your picks in for the Denver-Houston game this weekend. I like to look at the quarterback stuff. Bo Nix, passing yards, higher or lower, 206.5 passing yards. You know ball? Go prove it. Higher or lower there. C.J. Stroud, 221.5 passing yards. Higher or lower there. You know ball? Go prove it. Nico Collins, out of the concussion protocol. 62.5 receiving yards. Do you like the higher or lower there? Don't get your fancy coffee today. Repurpose that money on Underdog. Download the Underdog app today. Sign up with promo code KILLERB to score $100 in bonus entries when you play your first $5. That's promo code KILLERB. Underdog. Make picks. Win money.
Must be 18 or older and present in Texas. Terms apply. See assets.underdogfantasy.com/web/play and get terms _DFS_.html for details. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.